Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year. That's just $50 total at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp, not flashy. Just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Courtroom coverage continues now.
Maybe seated. All right.
I'm sorry, I had to grab my indictments.
That's okay.
At this time, I'd like to make a motion to dismiss certain charges presented, charged against Adam Montgomery. The first comes to the second degree assault. I recognize that the information with regard to the assault is based on witnesses reporting statements by Adam Montgomery. There is no witness, eyewitness, including Kayla Montgomery herself, because we did know that Mr. Tseros did speak with Ms. Montgomery, and as a result of that conversation did not come away with concerns with regard to a need to follow up on the allegation of assault by Kevin Montgomery. Follow-up was deemed necessary. This allegation was investigated. Harmony was spoken to, witnesses were spoken to, and nothing happened as far as this investigation. And that the charges here occurred after, that were instituted after a search for Harmony Montgomery and determination that Adam Montgomery was at least a suspect in why Harmony was missing, and that was the impetus that led to his charge in this case. But based on the facts as they existed in the summer of 2019, I do not believe that there was support for the allegation, and subsequent charges against Mr. Montgomery don't make what did not exist as a confirmation now to be confirmation. With regard to the second degree murder, the only evidence with regard to how Harmony died or who killed Harmony is Kayla Montgomery's testimony. Kayla Montgomery is a convicted perjurer. She has also acknowledged two other instances of perjury other than what she was charged with. Her story itself went through various iterations, and quite frankly, I think were pretty ludicrous as far as a degree of violence that nobody could accomplish in public as she had described and not be seen by anyone. She was describing a degree of violence in the car at a time when people would be going perhaps to work at Colonial Village. She was describing assaults in the car outside of the clinic on Franklin Street. And you may recall the testimony that at one point prior to that, there was testimony that they had to go into the clinic one at a time because at a prior visit while they were parked outside of the clinic, somebody noted that there was nobody in the car with the kids. And so that's why they changed their behavior to one person at a time. This was the regular hours of the clinic, with people going in and out of the clinic. Very, very public area. The jury was at the scene. Obstructions for the car outside of the clinic didn't exist. Then there is allegations of at traffic lights from the clinic to Burger King, assaults. She claims at every traffic light. She claims that Mr. Montgomery was at those traffic lights leaning over and striking Harmony in the back seat several times through perhaps each traffic light, and that the last time was pulling into the Burger King parking lot. Again, the jury saw the Burger King parking lot, no obstructions, at a time when other people would be going in and out of the Burger King parking lot. And she described that based on that final assault, he became worried that something perhaps was wrong. And then she describes pulling into the drive-in, having communication and direct contact with a clerk who he is providing money to receive, or however it was paid. She fought cash but couldn't say definitively, and then receiving the food as the clerk is handing it out to him while he is sitting in the car. I just think it defies logic, reason, and any sort of credibility. The changes that she went through with regard to those events, that although she started out saying that these assaults to the jury started at in the morning before going to the clinic, on cross-examination said that they actually started between 2 and 3 in the morning, with about Harmony being struck about 15 times. And one of the other things in the Burger King parking lot, that she thought the boys were asleep throughout this time. She wasn't sure. I think her credibility with regard to that information is just she has no credibility, and therefore there is no evidence of how Harmony died and who caused her death. And I would move to dismiss the second-degree murder charge for insufficient evidence, even taking the evidence in the light most reasonable to the state. With regard to falsifying physical evidence, I have no motion. With regard to abuse of a corpse, I have no motion. With regard to tampering with the witness, Kayla testified that upon discovering Harmony's death, she and Adam spoke about what to do. They spoke together about concerns that DCYF would take the children, that was her concern as well, that they made plans together to hide the body, to not tell about Harmony's death. And her description on cross, because I understand on direct it was different, but on cross she acknowledged a plan and a communication as a partnership and conspirator rather than being a victim of witness tampering. So I would move to dismiss that charge as insufficient evidence taken in the light most reasonable to the state.
It's okay.
What defies logic, reason, and credibility is to argue that in the evidence, taking the evidence in light most favorable to the state, that this matter should not go on to the jurors. The defendant's motion to now should be dismissed. I'd like to remind the court with regards to the testimony of the second degree assault that occurred. Kevin Montgomery testified about how he came home from his trip to Florida to see Harmony in the kitchen the day that he returns in July, in the time period alleged between July 7th and July 22nd, and that he sees the black eye on Harmony, plain visual assurance, and seeing that this injury occurred on a five-year-old girl at the time, and that what was the defendant's response? I bashed her around the fucking house. This statement about the defendant having struck Harmony during that time period was confirmed by the testimony of Ms. Katie Morin, Courtney Garcia, by Kayla Montgomery herself, by Nicholas Ahern, who all either saw the injury or heard the defendant say one of his variations. One, admitting that he struck Harmony. Two, saying that Harmony got hurt in a soccer incident. Or three, admitting that he struck Harmony and that he was angry at the time. Mr. Demetrius Saros, the DCYF investigator who responded, was able to get there over a week later after the defendant had spirited Harmony away at the time of the very first visit, and even he still saw the mark on Harmony's face weeks later. The fact that the defense counsel just pointed out that this charge came forward post the original search for Harmony going missing is completely irrelevant. The statute of limitations allows this charge to be brought anytime within the time frame for an ordinary felony. Specifically here also, when you have a child, there's an extension to the statute of limitations that would go out for felony level conduct. There is no basis in law nor in fact of any of the witnesses who have testified to be able to dismiss this charge. With regard to the second degree murder, again, the testimony of Kayla Montgomery alone is sufficient for this matter to go forward to the jury for their consideration, but it is not alone. It is accompanied by copious amounts of corroboration from various different witnesses, physical evidence that's been provided, from testimonial evidence about records that what she said happened to Harmony did in fact happen. And that even though the defendant now has stated to the jury in the opening arguments that they can and should find him guilty of falsifying physical evidence. It's falsifying physical evidence that would have shown that he committed the crime of second-degree murder against her. Not that something happened in the middle of the night, but that he struck her on December 7th. His words, "I think I hurt her this time. I think I did something." That's something that's been testified to, that the Kayla Montgomery testified and talked about in the very first proffer, that the first punching happened before the sun came up. So representations that though the beginning of the assault must have been seen by somebody else that was there on a cold, dark December morning they do not go ahead and meet with the facts of the case that have been presented on the situation that she was in. The description of violence that was made in public, it's very easy to be violent towards a five-year-old who's laying down in a car seat, laying down in the car. And that is, in fact, the position that Kayla Montgomery puts Harmony in, which is behind her seat, behind the passenger seat, in the rear, down against the door. With regards to the witness tampering charge, Your Honor, for that, not only does a picture speak a thousand words over the fact that the defendant abused Kayla Montgomery physically to make sure that she stuck to the story, but that abuse has been testified to was witnessed by Nicole Giles as early as January 2020, as well as later on in 2021 by Tara Hilbert. The testimony of Kayla Montgomery has been that that was done to make sure that she stuck to the story that the defendant created, that she did not come out. And she stuck to that story so well, she went ahead and committed perjury as part of that story. So to say that there's no evidence that in the light, when looking at the evidence in the light most favorable to the state, to say that there is no evidence for these three charges to go forward does not coincide with the facts that we've actually heard in this courtroom. And as a result, the defendant's motion should be dismissed.
All right, to succeed on a sufficiency of the evidence claim, the defendant must show that viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the state, no rational trier of fact could find guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. All reasonable inferences derived from the evidence are viewed in the light most favorable to the state. With regard to the second degree assault charge, Kevin Montgomery testified that he saw the black eye. The defendant, according to the testimony, the defendant admitted that he had bashed Harmony around the house. Kayla also heard the statements. Others also saw the bruising on Harmony. Mr. Soros saw the defendant removing Harmony from the scene when he went there, and subsequently also saw the bruising himself. So considering the evidence that's been presented and taking all the inferences and facts in light most favorable to the state, the motion to dismiss that charge is denied. With regard to the second-degree murder charge, as the state says, there is direct evidence through the testimony of Kayla Montgomery that she saw the defendant striking Harmony, which led to her death. The defendant's own statements indicate that at the time he believed that he hurt Harmony or that he did something to her. There's additional descriptions regarding the circumstances surrounding the families living in the car at that time. Again, taking all the facts and testimony and inferences in the light most favorable to the state, the court does find that the state meets its burden. And the motion to dismiss on the second-degree murder charge is also denied. With regard to the witness tampering, there is a photograph of Kayla. Kayla testified extensively regarding the allegations of abuse and the statements by the defendant with respect to convincing Kayla to stick with the story that he had given to her. Nicole Giles and Tara Hilbert both testified quite clearly regarding the abuse that they saw and heard about. And again, there is sufficient evidence that to show that the state has met its burden on the witness tampering charge as well. And so the motion to dismiss on that claim is also denied. All right. So the motions to dismiss have been denied. I think we're ready to go forward tomorrow with the defense presentation of evidence, if they wish to present any. Attorney Smith, it may be useful for the court and for the state for us, if you know in advance about whether or not we're going to be moving right into closings or whether you anticipate presentation of evidence, if you're comfortable with it. You can let the state and the court know. Otherwise, what I would have you do is be here no later than 8:30 tomorrow morning so that we know where this is headed. Should the defendant refuse to be transported tomorrow, the court would deem that a waiver of his right both to be present and a waiver of his right to testify. So I want to be clear on that, as I said to him when I did colloquy him on this issue of his absence. If he doesn't get on the transport in the morning, he will be waiving both his right to be present and his right to testify. Any question about that?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. And if there is any issue with your ability to see him, please inform the court immediately. Okay. With regard to the pending motion that was filed over the weekend, Attorney, I'm comfortable just ultimately making a ruling on that. Since I just got the state's objection this morning, I don't want to rule on it from the bench right now. But I think you can all be prepared as you would for closings.
With regard to that motion, I did want to point out something in light of the state's objection.
Okay.
That it is not a, while we put in the motion the court's order on sequestration, this motion, and disagree with it, this motion is about the exculpatory evidence, Brady violation. Also, we did have a transcript so that when we put something in quotes, it is our from the recording, not from notes. And finally, that there was one thing where a representation that Attorney Garrity was not sure about whether or not he received some of the information from another source, his wife. In our transcript as well, he is quite clear that the issue of being asked to alert Kayla on being alone, as we put in our motion, that he was quite clear on that, and he was not clear about the second issue that he may have gotten it from his wife about conceding the other charges.
And I guess the only issue that I suppose I'll give you a chance to clarify now is your notion of what is exculpatory. Why don't you tell me in your own words rather than have me attempt to state it exactly what is exculpatory?
The fact that she was specifically guided towards an area and so that she might prepare, and in fact she did say that once she got the information she used that information to...
So the fact that she was informed by the state that you were going to that essentially you were going to suggest that she was the one who killed Harmony. That's what you consider to be...
We don't consider that to be new information to her.
Right.
However, that the specific direction was being alone in the car that night with the children.
So essentially what you think is exculpatory is the preparation of a witness subsequent to opening statements?
Yes.
Okay.
And not disclosing it, especially because the state prepared a question based on their own request to Attorney Garrity, and then said they were surprised at her answer, where it's clear that they anticipated that answer, and then failed to disclose that that guidance had actually been requested.
Okay. Anything, I do have your extensive response of pleading, but if you'd like to just briefly, respond now.
Just briefly, Your Honor, with regards to what we just heard a moment ago.
Yes.
The state prepared the questions there not based upon the answer of Attorney Garrity, but actually based upon the question of defense counsel during her cross-examination. And in that, she made a statement to Caleb Montgomery to say that basically you went ahead and you agreed and you had to come up big time to get rid of bigger charges and agreed that you had committed lesser charges. That is the prompting for why the state asked its question on redirect to point out that that was the same legal theory that the defendant was using himself, so that defense counsel was very familiar with the theory. It wasn't about a conversation that was had with Attorney Garrity. It was about the defendant's questioning on cross-examination the day before. When we came back,
can you repeat that? The defendant's questioning?
Yes, Your Honor. I apologize. I don't have that right in front of me, and I should have printed it out. But at one point in time, actually, excuse me for a second, Your Honor. I believe I may have taken a note on this. Just for a minute. At one point, defense counsel asked Ms. Montgomery, saying, "You knew they had you solid on perjury, right? You were never getting around that one, right? And so you decided that this would probably be the best that you could do to get as few consequences for your own actions as possible." That is the prompting for the state's question on redirect that was with regards to whether or not the witness was aware of the defendant's statements in opening and concessions, specifically concessions in opening, about the falsifying physical evidence charge and about the abuse of the corpse charge. That is the prompting for the reason, not because of a conversation that was had with Attorney Garrity. It was about those concessions, and it was about defense counsel's question that prompted this to be asked to then come up, or to then have heard Ms. Montgomery's response. I think that the state has articulated, hopefully clearly enough in its response, that regardless of even if there had been a specific conversation that was about this is the full details of something happening in the middle of the night, if that was there, that would not have been a violation of the sequestration order, nor is it new information that would have been shared with Ms. Montgomery. Nor would she have been prohibited from having it, and nor does that equal a violation of Brady under Obrath. There is nothing new here. The defendant's argument is essentially that opposing party preps a witness, all of that should be discoverable, and it's not. If there's a suggestion to the witness of how to testify, that may be an issue with regards to what the substance is, but not testimony in general. To be able to remember that at all times the most important thing is to tell the truth, to make sure that you understand the answer, the question being asked before you give an answer, to make sure that you use your own words to answer a question and don't accept an attorney's words regardless of which table they happen to be standing at. That is not some sort of suggestive information, and providing that information to a witness is not something that is then in exchange something that is exculpatory for the defendant or is somehow sharing information for the witness. It's not a surprise to Kayla Montgomery that the defendant would be arguing that she's the one who killed Harmony, since those are some of the exact same questions that she was asked from investigators at the beginning, even back to the very first proffer, was about establishing that she's not the individual who had done this. So here, the opposing party doesn't need to say everything that was discussed with the witness and witness prep. That's not Brady material. And what the defendant's argument is to try to say that somehow a violation of a sequestration order, which did not happen, then generates exculpatory material in Brady. And it's, I'm sorry, but that's not the case. That's not how Brady operates. That's not how the sequestration order operates.
All right, thank you.
And again, I think it might be on there, but there is a point where Attorney Knowles said, I don't believe I asked anything of Attorney Garrity. And Attorney Garrity, in fact, said, I was contacted to and requested to apprise Kayla.
Right. I heard him to say, though, that he wasn't requesting information from Attorney Garrity. And Attorney Garrity testified that he just spoke to her when she was here that morning. So in any event, I don't think there was no apprising of testimony. I hear what you're saying. I've read your motion. I'll reread it. I'll reread the state's response of pleading.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on that, Attorney Smith?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Okay. I know you have another commitment. Attorney Brooks, did you have some language you wanted to give me for the proposed instructions that I gave to you regarding the defendant's absence, or I wasn't sure whether you were just saying?
I have not drafted anything myself, Your Honor.
It's something beyond the standard instruction about if the defendant chooses not to testify.
Oh,
you want something specific to his his absenting himself throughout the trial?
That should play no role in the jury's consideration. That itself does not constitute evidence, and the jury should not speculate.
Okay.
And that's fine with the state, Your Honor. We have no objection to adding that language.
Okay. Was there anything else other than that you wanted changed?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, and you've reviewed the instructions on the charges themselves?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Anything from the state other than that?
No, not at all, Your Honor. We reviewed the instructions ourselves. We reviewed the jury verdict form. We have no other suggestions or alterations. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I've covered. Okay.
I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No. I know you do have to accomplish something. Okay, can you just approach for just one more moment? Yes, right, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
More continuing coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter Harmony Montgomery is on the way. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cashback is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or, eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cashback. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.